NASA is building a new facility in California that's expected to produce more energy than it uses. Maybe one day your building will operate under its own power and even provide energy to surrounding buildings. Joining us now is Jeremy Cohen, the manager of lead market development of the Green Building Council. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So are these buildings able to find a new law of the conservation of energy? How is this all possible?
Well, the operative word that's usually thrown in there is net zero energy. So the buildings are built with the maximizing the efficiency of the resource use in mind, and then tacking on some energy efficiency or energy producing measures to make up the difference. So on the NASA facility, it looks like they have a solar photovoltaic array on there to produce energy, and then also a natural gas-powered fuel cell, which will allow it to make up the energy that it needs in hours that are not peak demand.
Isn't this a tremendously expensive endeavor? I mean, theoretically that there's a return on investment later, but right now everybody's so tight for cash.
There is some upfront investment with trying to really maximize the performance of a building, especially to this level. I think the federal government has been a leader in coming out and trying to really push the envelope of performance of new buildings with the recognition of how big their operating portfolio is and how much, how many resources, how much they spend on utility bills currently, but also looking to try out some of these technologies to make them more tried and true for the private sector. So there is some upfront investment, especially if you want to push things all the way to net zero energy. But aside from just your utility bills and the return on investment, there's a tremendous impact with national security, with energy security, with having buildings be able to operate on sort of a standalone model like this.
Now, as these buildings get constructed either by GSA or, you know, by contractors and leased back, some of them have a lot of exotic equipment, as you mentioned, photovoltaic cells, windmills even on roofs, green roofs, and some exotic building materials. What's the effect of all of that on the insurance aspect of a building when sometimes maybe the longevity or effects of those materials may not be known on a building's integrity?
Well, that's an important question. I think the few examples that you just mentioned with photovoltaics, with wind turbines, some renewable energy applications, and especially with green roofs, are not necessarily as exotic as they may seem. These are things that have been out in the market for quite a while, and the mission of my organization, the U.S. Green Building Council, is really to drive towards market transformation, where green building becomes more ubiquitous, more accessible, and the more folks who follow these strategies and start to pick up on this, both the cost comes down, but also the impact of these technologies is better understood, and the some of the possible liabilities and insurance applications are also better understood. So, you know, there are thousands of LEED certified buildings out there. A lot of them are using these really innovative strategies, such as wastewater recycling, as green roofs. Some of these products that seem more innovative and cutting edge, and all those buildings out there in this leadership role are really helping to prime the market for this. And we've seen really just positive results up to this point.
We're talking with Jeremy Cohen, the manager of lead market development at the U.S. Green Building Council. And you were talking about, you know, if a building is able to not put out so many pollutants and at the same time be able to generate its own energy, what does it do with the extra energy? Can it store it? I mean, is that part of the consideration, or would the federal government then go into the business of selling power? I mean, what do you do with it?
Well, at a small scale, I think both of those are definitely options. With certain applications, you might, you know, if a building is more in a remote location or has a really strong need for having backup energy should the grid go down or something go wrong, the technology is improving very quickly for energy storage, which is not always the easiest thing to do. In most states now, since you know, residential applications and commercial applications of renewable energy have been around now for a little longer. In most states, you can actually do a net metering policy where you are where you purchase energy from the grid in times when your building needs to consume it, and then in other times, say during the when your system is producing more energy than the building actually needs, that energy can go back into the grid. So essentially, your electricity meter will spin backwards. So you can get net billed for that energy, and the electrons go back into the grid to help power the other buildings in the area.
And these buildings sound like they're pretty good for the atmosphere and so forth. Are they also good for the employees that work inside them?
Well, that's certainly half of the equation there. The idea of green building, at least the vision that my organization works towards, is this idea of having a better impact on the environment, being better for your bottom line, and also being overall just better places to live, work, and play. So a lot of the elements of green building, when you look at it holistically, isn't just about maximizing energy efficiency, but maximizing the usability of that space, providing better daylighting, better indoor air quality, and those sorts of things can just really improve the environment for the occupants, because after all, that's what the building is there to do.